Interview with Alex Selassie, former water polo coach of University of Richmond. Okay, Al, when did you start coaching water polo at University of Richmond?
Started in 1971, fall of 1971, and I coached until 1979. And then I took a 3 years off and came back in 1982 and coached until 1987.
Who coached before and who coached during your absence in those 3 years?
I have started water polo at University of Richmond in 1971 with Dr. Norris Eastman. He was at the time the head swimming coach. And when he resigned as a swimming coach and became a full-time professor at the university, then Pete Guy became a swimming coach and he assumed the role of the water polo coach also. And he stayed with the university aquatic program until 1982, and then I came back and took the program over again.
Okay. Did Warren Hammer ever coach water polo?
No. Mr. Hammer, he is a strictly swimming coach.
The other thing was... During your coaching tenure, you had you've established like a JOPA tournament during the spring, and what year did you have the international tournament?
Well, what we tried to do, our goal was to try to make the University of Richmond or the City of Richmond or the water polo capital of the East Coast, and worked very hard to try to get some big name teams come and play in our tournaments, but the only way we could do it is to find a sponsor. And after 2 or 3 years, the JOPA company, who is a local swimming pool building company, was willing to put up the funds to run a big tournament. The first JOPA tournament was in 1973, and that was mainly teams from the East Coast, and the second year we tried to make it for an international tournament. It was in 1974, and we invited the Mexican national team, and in 1973 World Championship, the Mexicans were fourth in the world, and the same team was invited. Then we invited the Canadian national team, and we invited the United States national team also, but because of the schedule, they were not able to make it to the tournament. So, but the Mexicans and the Canadians came down, and that was probably the biggest event, one of the biggest events in the history of City of Richmond athletics. The mayor, who was at the time Thomas Bliley, who is a senator, I'm a congressman from Virginia, and he was the mayor in Richmond, and he did the opening ceremony. Frank Soden was the masters of ceremonies. Frank Soden was, for many years, he was the assistant athletic director at the University of Richmond. And we had a very good turnout. A lot of people showed interest. At the final game, we packed the Robin Center. I believe we had at least 1,000 people. People were standing upstairs and watching the game from there. The final was played between the New York Athletic Club and the Mexican national team. And the New York Athletic Club is probably one of the best teams in the country. They always finished in the nationals very highly. And they won the tournament. They beat the Mexican national team, which was a big, big surprise.
Did how did University of Richmond team fare against the international competition?
Well, we were very young at the time. We just had 2 years of experience, and at the time, University of Richmond team was mainly from local players, as the University of Richmond back in the early 70s was a local university. The majority of the students came from the state of Virginia, and many of them from Richmond. So we didn't recruit at the time, so we didn't have the caliber of players back then that we have now. And I believe we finished, I can't recall it exactly how, but we lost to the New York team and we lost to the Mexican teams also. And I believe we finished it was fourth or fifth out of the 18.
Okay, so there hasn't been any sort of like international tournament ever since then, there hasn't?
Well, no major power came back to Richmond after that, because unfortunately in 1975 we had some, then was the oil crisis and when we had the international military crisis, and Joppa Company lost a lot of business and they were unable to sponsor the tournament to the extent, but they did in the previous 2 years in 1973 and 1974. So they were still sponsoring the tournament, but they were just unable to put tens of thousands of dollars into it, because the previous year they paid for the traveling expenses for the Mexican national team and traveling expenses from the teams from Canada. So we lost the sponsorship, and probably that was the main reason why we were unable to bring any international teams down here. Because, should be known, also, yourself well, that water polo is none of the major sports in this side of the world. And the national foundation pays only to go to the World Championship and for the Olympics for its national teams. And if they want to travel outside the country, they have to find some sponsor who is going to pay for it. So that's what happened in the case of the 1973 and 1974 tournament. Basically, when we lost the sponsorship, and we were unable to attract the international teams.
And probably, do you think the fact that the lack of a 30-meter all-deep pool probably limits the competition?
Yeah, definitely. This limits the competition to the extent that all major national or international events, which would be sanctioned by any kind of international federation, has to play in an official size pool, which is 30-meter by 20-meter at least. And the University of Richmond facility is only 25 yards by 20 yards. So it's, we are unable to hold an international or a national championship at the University of Richmond.
What was the best ranking or accomplishment that you think you achieved while you were a coach at the University of Richmond?
Well, it's happened in 1986, when our team had the best record in the country among the Division I teams. And we had a 30-4 record, which was probably one of the best records in the history of Division I teams. And that year we won the state championship, we won the Southern Conference championship, and unfortunately we didn't do that well in our Eastern championship. I believe we finished our third. And also our ranking this year was as high as 14th in the country. Unfortunately, we were unable to travel out to the West Coast and try our strength against the best teams in the U.S. because the best college teams are from California. But again, lack of funds, we just had to play against local competition and against the teams on the East Coast. But I think that was probably the all-time best University of Richmond water polo team.
The next year you went out to California. And how did you do out there then?
We left a good impression. We were early in the season. we did not start practicing until end of August, beginning of September, because of the University of Richmond policy, and we had to go out to California on September 15th and play against the best competition in the country. And also, you should know that the teams in California, they play all year round. So the college players in the summertime, they play in club teams and they play together, and they never get out of shape. And we had only 2 weeks to get ready for that level of competition, but we left a good impression. Okay. Let me put this way: we stayed with the best team at the time. Was Pepperdine University in the first two quarters. We were in the game. I guess it was a 1 or 2 goal game, and after that we played in a big pool, and we just won out. We weren't in good enough shape, but we made a good impression, because when we came back to Richmond and throughout the season, we were invited back to a California Invitational Tournament where they invited the best teams from the country, and we were one of them. Unfortunately, because of lack of money again, we were unable to go back.
I heard stories about the Iona game at Eastern's before, I guess it was the year before I came, and it was like a double overtime, like marathon or something like that, wasn't it?
Yes, the game was in 1984. That was probably the most exciting game in the history of the University of Richmond. We had we had to play Iona to make it to the Final Four in the tournament or play in the Easterns. Matter of fact, it was the Eastern Championship. For the Final Four round, we had to play against Iona. And in regulation time, the game was tied, and we went into a sudden bit overtime. And Iona scored a goal on a man-up situation, and we protested the goal because the referee did not signal to the ejected player, so we were not aware of who was ejected from the game, and he didn't know himself, so he stayed in the pool and stayed involved in the game, and because of that, the referee awarded a penalty shot, and they scored a penalty shot, being a sudden death. That was the end of the game. So we protested the referee's decision, and we won the protest. And we had to replay the overtime period. We scored a goal in overtime period, and we thought we won the game. Then the Iona coach protested the game because, according to him, we called a timeout in the overtime period where we were not allowed to do so because we did not have any timeouts left. So they won the protest, and we had to get back the third time 2 hours later to play the overtime period again, and we won the game. We scored a goal. And it should be mentioned that David Kasten, he is one of the outstanding players in the history of University of Richmond Water Polo. He had a broken hand, but he broke his hand a week before at Navy. And but he was also our driver, and we needed him, so he had a playing cast, and he took the playing cast off of his hand, and he got in the pool, and he is the one who scored the winning goal. So. It was very, very exciting.
Who do you think probably was one of your best players that you coached during your time as coach?
Well, I think it's hard to say who was the best player. I have to say, and I think it's a well-known fact, that our most talented player was probably Mario Cesarek. and also he was the laziest. And the reason why the University of Richmond never achieved higher goals because of his lack of interest and lack of enthusiasm. I can't pinpoint out anybody because we always had a team who worked together and played well together, but we never had a single outstanding star. We had several of the players who thought they were the greatest, as we don't mention any names, but that's I think that was a team effort.
What would be the probably the biggest turning point from a small local team to a sort of a broad national team that drew from many states that had water polo programs?
Well, when I came back in 1982, that year we didn't have that many good players, and while I was in absence, University of Richmond lost to the state championship and the Southern Conference championship to Washington and Lee. And when I came back then that year, and I did very heavy recruiting from the St. Louis area, and luckily we landed. We enrolled at university three of the all Missouri team players: Mario Cesare, David Caston, and Greg Galacados, and also we had a player from California, Harry Silver. We had a great goalie from Philadelphia, Mark Fairboys. So we had five top players came in that year, and we had a good base from then on to build on. And we had, at one time we had five players were from St. Louis, and St. Louis had a very strong water polo program, so I think that was a turning point. And unfortunately, the University of Richmond became so strong academically that it was almost impossible to bring the players in who wanted to come to University of Richmond because of their SAT scores. And we had to compete against Brown and Bucknell with the high academic standards, and we lost many good players who wanted to come to Richmond, to mainly to Brown. And I think if we would have had some kind of a scholarship, or we would have had some kind of a break on enrollment, then we could have taken this water polo program a lot further than we were. I'm strongly convinced that we could have finished in the top three or four in the country.
Okay, that's it.
Thanks, Al.